Good morning, and welcome to the SWK Holdings Corporation's fourth quarter and full year 2017 earnings conference call. Before we begin, I will paraphrase the company's safe harbor language. Some of the discussion today may include forward-looking statements. Actual results could differ materially from what the company projects today, so please refer to its most recent 10-K and 10-Q filings for a more complete description of factors that could affect these projections. The company does not undertake to publicly update forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. You should not place undue reliance on forward-looking statements, which speak only as of the date they are made. Regarding any non-U.S. GAAP measures that may be discussed during the call and from time to time by the company's executives in discussing the company's performance, please visit the company's website, www.swkhold.com, and click on the Financial Reporting tab of the Investor Relations page for a reconciliation of these measures to the nearest U.S. GAAP results. Also, unless otherwise indicated, all financial results the company discusses are versus the comparable prior year period and in U.S. dollars. Now, I would like to turn the call over to Winston Black, CEO of SWK Holdings. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Keith. We appreciate everyone joining us today for the conference call. I'm joined today by Jody Staggs, our VP of Investments, and Chuck Jacobson, our CFO. When Brett Pope resigned as CEO in fourth quarter of 2015, arguably things looked fairly bleak for SWK as we were suffering losses from two portfolio positions, while our portfolio hadn't grown large enough for investors to focus on aggregate portfolio performance, magnifying their impact. Since then, we believe we have made good progress improving our life science specialty finance business, implementing many lessons learned from those things that went frankly poorly, but also from things that went well in our first series of investments. We have significantly upgraded our due diligence and underwriting procedures, have sharpened our elbows working with our borrowers when things go sideways, have expanded the investments team to expand our bandwidth and further develop our deal origination capabilities. When one looks at the portfolio's overall performance over the last two years, the results demonstrate things have improved substantially. As a case in point, the book value per share has grown 18% from $13.47 per share at year-end 2015 to $15.93 per share at year-end 2017. We are nearing being fully invested post executing the new transaction in the first quarter of 2018. We believe we are more patient putting capital to work. We are executing higher quality transactions, and we have created a market-leading position as a non-dilutive capital provider of choice in transaction sizes of $20 million and below in our space. While we continue to have two portfolio positions to work out, we believe the company has a good foundation for the future. While I don't plan to read our entire 2017 results press release, I do want to review the highlights for the year, give a brief recap of our business model for those new to SWK, and then turn it over to the Q&A portion of the call. In 2017, we accomplished the following. We realized record revenues of $37.5 million for the fiscal year 2017 compared to $22.4 million for the fiscal year 2016. We reported net income attributable to SWK stockholders of $3 million or $0.23 per share, and we reported non-GAAP adjusted net income attributable to SWK stockholders, which eliminates the GAAP tax provisions and change in warrant assets and liabilities of $19.9 million or $1.53 per share, also a record for SWK. During the year, book value increased 11.7% to $15.93 per share as of December 31st, 2017, including the approximately $10 million decrease in the deferred tax asset due to the decrease in the U.S. corporate tax rate. For the fiscal year 2017, SWK earned a 10.4% return on tangible book value, excluding the deferred tax asset and GAAP provision for income tax. We ended 2017 with total income-producing assets of $153.9 million as of December 31st, 2017, a 16.4% increase from December 31st, 2016. During 2017, we closed three new financings deploying $25.8 million at a weighted average 16% GAAP projected effective yield and deployed an additional $16.7 million to existing portfolio partners. We ended the year with $30.6 million of cash and cash equivalents available for deployment. Finally, after the close of the fourth quarter, we deployed $28.3 million in the aggregate into two new transactions supporting two existing We deployed $28.3 million in the aggregate into two new transactions while also supporting two existing portfolio partners with additional growth capital. Before moving on to your questions, I thought it would be useful to recap the types of transactions we evaluate. We typically look at three categories. First, we purchase or finance royalties coming from the sales of pharmaceuticals, medical devices, or diagnostics. These are typically created when a company or inventor licenses the rights to a product in exchange for some combination of upfront payments, milestones, and royalties. After the product is on the market and generating sales, licensor typically passive and is just receiving the royalty payments. SWK buys the right to that cash flow stream with a possible combination of upfront payments, milestone payments, or royalty sharing payments. The second type of transaction is a structured debt transaction to an operating company. In this case, the company that provides SWK provides capital to actually owns the rights and commercializes the product. In most cases, SWK is getting repaid through a percentage of revenue, which effectively comprises interest and principal. The last type of transaction involves SWK buying the rights to a product or capitalizing an entity for that purpose in conjunction with an operator. We are typically targeting products that have very high operating margins, but have been neglected by the selling entity because the product is not a strategic fit or small relative to the other products in their portfolio. Although we are evaluating several types of transactions, the core analysis and the types of assets are similar. Simply, we finance commercial stage life science assets. From an analysis perspective, we are evaluating the same commercial curves, intellectual property, and ultimately the underlying cash flow and value. We are focusing primarily on transactions that are sub $50 million, as we find that most of our potential competitors need to deploy a large amount of assets, so these transactions are not worth the time and investment for them, typically. Because of this dynamic, we believe the risk-adjusted returns are more attractive in our target market, particularly relative to other asset classes. We are generally looking to earn mid-teens returns on transactions. Our expense base is largely fixed, so as we grow our top line, we should see similar growth to our bottom line. We are frequently asked how we are different from other life science lenders. While we share many similarities in secure loans are the bread and butter of our business, the Opiant transaction is a good example of the differentiated value we can add to our partner companies and shareholders. While the product has been a tremendous success, in late 2016, when Opiant was looking to monetize the asset, uncertainties around public sector sales, value versus the injectable naloxone, and the IP duration created a situation that wasn't suitable for standard financing structures. SWK had followed Opiant and its Narcan product for several months and was able to move extremely quickly, in only a couple of weeks, in fact, when the company decided to monetize its royalty stream. SWK was able to thoroughly diligence and gain a view on the key variant points and also structure a capped royalty that provided Opiant with capital to fund its R&D initiatives and the ability to benefit from product tail economics if the launch curve was better than expected, while providing SWK shareholders with a strong IRR on the capped royalty combined with ongoing tail economics via the 10% residual share. We believe our transaction pipeline is robust and that we can continue to capitalize on compelling opportunities. We continue to evaluate traditional loans, royalties, as well as product purchases. 6 years into running the business on this platform, we believe that our transaction sourcing capability has grown considerably as more companies, bankers, and other intermediaries have become aware of our platform and deal criteria, as well as our capabilities. Lastly, as we have noted in our filings, we do not expect the life science finance business to utilize all of our NOLs. As such, we continue to evaluate and seek additional situations where we can use them. With that, we'd like to open the call for questions. Operator, can you please announce instructions for asking questions?
Certainly. At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone keypad. You may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Once again, star and one on your touch-tone phone. And we'll pause a few moments to allow any questions to queue. Once again, star and one for your questions. We'll go first to Steve Hale with Hale Partnership. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Winston, hey, good morning.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Doing well. Hey, quick question for you. Just with that last point that you just hit on not being able to realize all the NOLs, and when I'm looking at the and by the way, great work on Opiant and a good year last year. Congratulations. But when I look at the kind of the share price in the market around 10 or 11 bucks, and then the book value that you've got where you've booked some of the NOL, which you expect to use with the life sciences businesses, which is 1593 as you reported, and then the kind of the rest of the NOLs, if you could use them all, is another 3 or 4 bucks. I mean, how do you guys weigh, how do you and the board weigh eliminating the discount to book value, which is greater than just those incremental NOLs, when you think about capital allocation and what measures, and I'm specifically thinking like uplisting, share buyback, well, you know, what do we have to look forward to if you look out this year as we try to eliminate that discount?
Sure. So, yeah, I mean, you're right. We're, you know, we certainly are not pleased with where the stock is trading relative to the book value, and we do believe it is undervalued. You know, I think the board continues to look at all the different things that you've mentioned. I think we've discussed some of these topics in the past, you know, regarding buybacks and the difficulties regarding NOL companies' positions with respect to those. And of course, also looking at dividends as a potential value driver as well. You know, I think at this point, the board believes that the best use of capital is to continue to deploy in our target market and continue to earn mid-teens return and grow the book value in a tax-free manner, while also looking to be opportunistic to see if there's other things that become available to be able to deploy capital into to potentially use additional NOLs. There's obviously a lot of positive and negatives to that in terms of shareholders wanting the stock discount to close much more quickly. But I think the board, taking a longer term view, believes that pursuing the current path is the right way to go.
And so specifically on the uplisting, is that something that's because that's not really capital allocation related, but could be shareholder friendly. What's the status on that?
I think it's something that the board continues to look at. I mean, but we obviously fulfill all the criteria to uplist to NASDAQ or to NYSE outside of adding additional independent director. So I think that remains an option for the company, and it's something that that the board does consider to consider on a periodic basis.
Terrific. Thank you.
Once again, it's star and one for any further questions. Star and one. We'll pause a few moments to allow further questions to queue. And we can take a question from Tucker Golden with Solus Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Winston. Just echo congratulations on all the progress you've made since 2015 in the portfolio, working out some unfortunate ones and finding some good ones. Question with regards to the tax motivated poison pill. We've lapped that 3-year anniversary of Carlson's large investment and that large ownership change, and at this point we still have this poison pill in place whereby your minority holders who own less than 5%, but close to 5%, really can't buy the stock. And we've talked about this before, but I struggle to see, absent some transformative transaction that could monetize those NOLs, with only a few years left really on a lot of them, I struggle to see the necessity to continue to maintain that poison pill. With that, being opportunistic is fine, but it doesn't sound like there's really a full-blown process to try to do something transformative. Absent that, can we expect you or the board to eliminate that poison pill and allow your minority shareholders to buy the stock if they want to, up and beyond 5%?
Thanks for the question, Tucker. I think the company has had the poison pill in place since 2009, and I think your observation regarding the duration of them getting shorter is accurate. At this point, I don't think the board is prepared to change that position, I certainly will continue to raise that with them. But at this point, I don't see a change in that policy.
And that's solely because they want to preserve the option to do something transformative where they might actually use that full 50% shift?
I think that's right. I think the board continues to think about lots of different things regarding the business, and to the extent that we were to utilize a portion of that shift, I think the board would feel that it does limit their the optionality of the business. And so at this point in time, that's my current understanding of the board's thinking.
Okay. Thank you, Rinson. Appreciate it. Good luck.
Thanks, Tucker.
Once again, star and one for your questions. Star and one. We'll pause to allow any further questions to queue. And it does appear we have no further questions. Ladies and gentlemen, with this, we'll conclude today's South SWK Holdings fourth quarter and full year 2017 earnings call. You may now disconnect. Have a good day.